Really happy to be talking now once again with the Massachusetts State Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr. And Senator Tarr, welcome back to MSO.
Thanks, Rick. It's great to be with you.
Again, we are doing this in the, how do we say this, in sort of the stand down, I guess, of the legislature. You're out of session formally right now, but you continue to keep tabs on things. And so in general, it's a relatively quiet time, I presume.
It is, Rick. We are still meeting twice a week in informal sessions, as the Constitution requires us to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a fairly quiet time legislatively, although there are certainly bills that we could see come forward at some point, the most notable being the Economic Development Bill, which also contains a significant number of tax cuts and tax relief measures. And that legislation is not dead. But in order to move in the informal session, as we've discussed, it would have to be the beneficiary of unanimous consent.
Mm-hmm.
Not impossible, and we still could see it. But at the moment, things are fairly quiet on Beacon Hill.
Senator, one thing I've learned about working with you and speaking, nothing is impossible with you, sir, so I appreciate all of that. I'm glad to hear it. Let me ask you an off-the-rail question here before we get to the meat of this particular session. The upcoming election is only a couple of weeks away. How does that affect the legislature at this point? Because I don't even know what's up for grabs, but in terms of the legislature's meeting and so on, how does the Massachusetts election affect what you're doing?
Well, I think one thing that's important to understand, Rick, is that in Massachusetts, every member of the legislature is up for re-election every 2 years. And so certainly people are spending some of their attention, some of their time on election and re-election campaigns. And that certainly takes some bandwidth, but it doesn't mean that public policy considerations have stopped. As you may have noted, there have been hearings taking place at the State House relative to the MBTA and the safety of the MBTA, and hearings relative to other matters as well. So things on Beacon Hill continue, but obviously there is some attention and time dedicated to the electoral process.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Rick, very soon, early voting will start. So while we know that Election Day is on November 8th, very soon people will be able to vote early. And so we are in the midst of that season right now.
Hey, what did I miss? As a mathematics teacher and not a social studies teacher or civics teacher, I always thought that the election was the first Tuesday in November, but this one is the second Tuesday.
You know, I'd have to go back and look, but I believe the way the statute reads, it has something to do with it being the second Tuesday or the first full week in November.
Okay.
Or something along those lines.
Okay.
And I'd have to go back and but it's not always the first Tuesday, obviously.
All right. Thank you, Senator. I'm not going to grade you on that because that wasn't a fair question. You didn't have a chance to look stuff up.
Well, thank you, Rick.
Okay. All right. Let's get down to business here. You want to start off, I think, with something about home heating assistance for this winter?
Absolutely, Rick. You know, we've talked about this a few times on your show, and it's important for folks to remember that there is in Massachusetts a very important home heating assistance program. And I often say that when you're in New England, home heating is a necessity. It's something that's critical to public health. And so in Massachusetts, there is the state version of the federal LIHEAP program, and it can cover eligible costs that run between November 1st and April 30th. And so that time frame is rapidly approaching, and folks can apply through their local community action program on Cape Ann. I think we're all familiar with Action Energy, and there are similar programs across the state. And it's important to understand that you have to be income eligible for this program. But just to give you a sense, Rick, the maximum annual income that a household of one can have to be eligible is $42,411.
Mm-hmm.
The maximum annual income for a household of two is $55,461. And for a household of three, the maximum income would be $68,511. So it's important for folks to know about this program and to explore its benefits. And very soon on TARTalk.com and our other social media platforms, we're going to be posting more information about how folks can apply. But it is very important, again, because we think we're going to be facing a very difficult season with regard to home heating and the cost of electricity and the cost of natural gas and the cost of home heating oil. And I would point out, Rick, that the six New England governors have been in regular communication, and in fact, I saw some correspondence this week between the six governors and our U.S. Secretary of Energy, Granholm, talking about the need to be proactive in the face of what we could see. And so the discussion has been around having adequate reserve supplies of the things that we need to make sure that our homes are safely heated during this winter season.
I think it's great advice, and with respect to what happens in Florida with a major hurricane, with the storms that we get up here, with the nudge of climate change, all of that is so important. And I'm glad you mentioned the income ceilings as well. I think that's really important, and we will link to that as soon as you get it up on Tar Talk. So thank you for that. The other thing, a couple of other things we want to talk about, but. you were mentioning in our pregame warm-up here about a little bit of change in terms of office space in the legislature, sort of mimicking what business has sort of pivoted to as a result of COVID.
Absolutely, Rick. What we're seeing is that, like business, government is seeing a lot more of a hybrid working arrangements where folks are not in an office the way that they used to be for regular business hours. They're working from home. They're sometimes coming into an office. And we got some information this week from Governor Baker relative to what's been happening with regard to office space. And what I thought was interesting and worth sharing was just some information about what's been happening with downtown office space that's leased or owned by state government. So before the pandemic, we had about 2.8 million square feet of space in downtown Boston that was, again, either leased or owned by state government. But the hope is that by spring of 2023, this coming spring, that number is going to be down to 2.4 million square feet. And by January of 2025, it would be reduced even further to about 2.129,000, 100,000 rather, square feet. So a decline in the amount of office space, but also the governor had informed us that a lot of the space is being reconfigured with an eye toward folks not having as much a dedicated office, but a place to work from when they came into the work environment from working remotely at home. So very significant changes, Rick, and I think, as you pointed out, these are reflective of where society is headed. And we certainly, I think, are going to see permanent changes arising from what was necessitated by the pandemic.
Is there something built in with respect to technology for those who would be working out of the office? We saw a problem with that with schools when the schools went hybrid or when they went remote because kids just weren't prepared for it, nor were teachers. But in terms of working staff and things like that, is there something in the works? Is there part of logistic planning for that?
So there is a lot of work being done about that to ensure that we have the capacity for information technology, but it's also important that that information technology and those information systems are secure. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that folks have been spending a lot of time on in state government is cybersecurity to make sure that when information is transmitted between, let's say, someone who's working from home and an office location, that isn't being exposed to being intercepted for nefarious purposes. And so there's a lot of discussion happening about that and a lot of work being done. And I would point out that one of the agencies that's doing a lot of that work is actually the National Guard, which has developed a lot of confidence in cybersecurity over the last few years. And they have been working not only with state government, but also with municipal government. Around ensuring that any cybersecurity threats are properly identified and addressed and hopefully prevented.
Oh, that's fascinating and great to know. All right, if we can go to one more subject here that's near and dear to my heart. As you know, my son has Down syndrome, and he is one of your greatest supporters. He thinks you're the greatest thing since the second coming of George Clooney. And you recently attended a buddy event in Wakefield that I think is absolutely fascinating and wonderful. Could you tell us about that, Senator?
I'd be happy to, and I just want to say that I'm one of Ricky's biggest fans as well. So right back at him.
Okay.
With regard to that, I've enjoyed knowing him over the years, Rick. And of course, it is important that we ensure that that folks that have Down syndrome have the most fulfilling lives possible. So I was thrilled to be invited by another young man, Matt from Ipswich, to go to the Buddy Walk that happened this past weekend. Being run by the Massachusetts Down Syndrome Congress, and it was held at Lake Quannapowitt in Wakefield, and the idea is that you walk with your buddies around Lake Quannapowitt, which is something that folks in our region generally do. It's not unusual at any time of day or night to see someone making the trek around Lake Quannapowitt, but at Wakefield Common, there was a huge number of people. I was joined at the walk by Governor Baker, by a number of my legislative colleagues, Representative Jones, Representative Lewis, Representative Wong, Representative Garbley, tremendous legislative showing of support for this effort and for this community. And it was an inspiring event, Rick, and I was very honored to be part of it.
Absolutely, and thank you for that. Thank you for that involvement. We're going to wrap this up. Now, in 2 weeks, I'm trying to figure out the calendar. 2 weeks we would do this again, which would be a Tuesday. I think that's going to be a week before the election. Do you have what's your sense of that? I don't have a calendar in front of me.
Well, I don't either. And okay. Given the fact that you've already quizzed me on election day, I don't want to risk your
I'm sorry.
A second time, but I will say this, that no matter what, we'll try to make it happen because I very much look forward to being able to communicate
all right.
with you and your listeners. So let's try to make it work.
I think in 2 weeks it'll be the first Tuesday, and it'll be 1 week before the election, so we can figure that out. As always, I appreciate it. That is Senator Bruce Tarr. He's the Senate Minority Leader in the state of Massachusetts. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.